Hi everyone, today's Perek of Rambam is the 18th chapter of Hilchos Issur Rabbia. In this Perek, Rambam will discuss the status of a zona, as well as other cases where women might potentially be forbidden to a kohen. Halacha Aleph. Maybe Hashmuel lemanu shehazona hamur b'Torah he kol she'ena bas Yisrael o bas Yisrael shenivala la'adam shiyasur li nasei lo Yisra hasheva l'kol o shenivala l'chalo apapi shimuteres li nasei lo. We have learned, according to our tradition, that the term zona, a woman who is promiscuous, if you will, used by the Torah, refers to somebody who either wasn't born as a regular Jew, or was a Jew from birth, but had relations with a man who she is forbidden to marry, in a prohibition which is relevant to everybody, or she had relations with a man who is defined as a chalal, a kohen who had desecrated status of his sanctity, even though she would have been permitted to marry him. Lefikach, hanir bas behema, apapishi beskila, lo nazi zona, lo nifsa lakuna, sheri lo nivala ladam. Accordingly, if a woman has relations with an animal, even though by doing so willfully she would be liable to be stoned to death, she nonetheless is not defined as a zona, and she does not become invalid to marry a kohen, because she had not had relations with a man. Vabala nida, apapishi bekaris, lo nazi zona, lo nifsa lakuna, sheri ena surli nasi lo. Similarly, if one has relations with a woman who is a menstruant, even though that sin is one which is liable for excision, nonetheless she does not become a zona, and she does not become forbidden to marry a kohen, because she is not forbidden to marry this individual. Halacha Beis. V'cheina baal pnuya, afilo ha'isa kadesha shefkir atzma lekol, af pi shi b'malkos, lo nase zona, v'lo nifsla minakuna, sheri ena asura li nase lo. Similarly, if one has relations with a woman who is not married, even though she was acting like a prostitute, she enabled herself to be free to sleep with anyone, even though she will receive lashes for such, nonetheless, she is not defined as a zona, and she is not invalid to marry a kohen, because she is not forbidden to marry that individual who had slept with her. If, however, the woman had relations to one of the people who is forbidden to her with a prohibition which relates to everybody and isn't specific for Kohanim, or from something which is the failure to comply with a positive command, what we define as an Isser Aseh, and it goes without saying, if the person that she had slept with was forbidden to her because of an Erva, or because he was not Jewish, or a slave, in that circumstance, she is now forbidden to marry that individual, and therefore she has been defined as a zona. Halacha Gimel. V'chein ein yoris v'meshachreres, afilu niskayra v'neshtachara p'chus mibasha l'shonim, hov ein abas yisrael, harizu zona basur l'koyin. Similarly, a woman who was a convert, or had once been a slave and had been freed, even though she had converted or been freed from being a slave when they were still less than the age of 3 years old, nonetheless, since she wasn't born as a Jew, she is defined halachically as a zona, and it's forbidden to marry a kohen. Mikan amru, o bikuchavim, o nesin, o mamzer, o ger, amoni, o moabi, o mitri, v'adomi, rishon, v'sheni, o b'tuadak, o kreshavcha, o chalal, shebal, yudas, asu, o sazona, v'nifsla, kuna, v'im ha'isa, kohenes, b'saluah, minat, truma. Accordingly, Chazal said from here that if a non-Jew, or nesin, or a mamzer, or a convert from the nations of Amon and Moab, or a convert from the nations of Mitzrayim or Edom, if they are the first or second generation, or somebody who has been damaged in his reproductive organs, or a chalal that had relations with a regular Jewish woman, they have turned her into a zona and made her invalid to marry a kohen, and if she was already a kohen, then in that circumstance, she is not allowed to eat truma any longer. Similarly, a woman who was standing to have levirate marriage done to her, and then somebody other than the brother of the deceased had relations with her, in that circumstance, she's also turned into a zona. With regards to the woman who is unable to bear children, who is infertile, she is permitted to marry a kohen and is not made into a zona. Halacha Dalet. Habal achas me'ashniyos kiyot behen kigon habal krovas chalutzaso o chalutzaso lo aso osa zona sharei ena asura li nasei lo min haTorah kmo shebiyarnu b'hilchos Yibam. If one has relations with somebody who is one of the second level erevas, which are only rabbinic in nature or the like, such as somebody had relations with a relative of the woman he did the chalitza to, or with the woman he did the chalitza to herself, in that circumstance, he is not turned to a zona because she is not forbidden to marry him on a biblical level, as Rambam has already explained in Hilchos Yibam. Halachah. We see from here that turning the woman into a zona is not dependent upon having relations which are forbidden. Since we see, for example, if one has relations with a woman who's a menstruant, or with a woman who's a prostitute, or with a woman who has relations with an animal, in none of those circumstances is that act of intercourse going to turn her into a zona. And somebody who marries a chalal and has relations with him in a permitted context, nonetheless, is turned to a zona. The matter is not dependent upon forbidden relations, rather, it's upon this sort of spiritual flaw. And we have learned through our tradition that she only becomes blemished, flawed in this fashion when she has relations with a man who is either forbidden to her to ever marry, or somebody who is himself a chalal, as the Rambam has explained. Accordingly, any woman who has relations with a man who would turn her into a zona, whether this is done willfully or against her will, whether this was done knowing that this was forbidden or whether it was done inadvertently, whether it was done in the normal fashion of intercourse or even if it was done from the back, as soon as the man's organ has begun to enter that area, she has become forbidden as a zona. And this is assuming that she was 3 years old in one day, and the one who had relations with her was 9 years old in one day. Accordingly, a married woman who had relations, whether willfully or not, has become forbidden to marry a kohen. Halacha zayin. Eishes kohen shenetza baila loka aleha mishum tuma. Shneamar lo yuchal baila harishon asher shalcha lashir lekachta lios lo lisha achrei asher hutama. Hakol v'chlal shimen nevalu asurin al balein. Par lecha kasev eishes Yisrael shenetza shimuteres the baila. Shneamar v'ilo nitfasa. The wife of a Kohen who was raped is forbidden to sleep with her husband, and if he sleeps with her, then in that circumstance he will receive lashes, as the Pasuk says that the original husband, after having sent her away, will not be able to go and take her back once she has been made impure. In that circumstance, everybody had been included once they had an act of relations which would make them forbidden to their husband. That excludes, though, the wife of a regular member of Klal Yisrael who had been raped. She's permitted to her husband because the pasuk itself specifically says that she had not been forced. That's when she becomes forbidden. But had she been forced, she would not be forbidden to her husband. However, with regards to the wife of a Kohen, she remains forbidden and she is defined as a zona. The wife of a regular member of Klal Yisrael who was raped, even though she's permitted to be with her husband still, she's forbidden to a kohen. Eishes kohen she'amar l'baila nenasti o shegagti ubalai echad o sheba eid echad v'heyad lo she'alaha shezinsa bein ba'onis bein baratzon harizu eina asura ala. If the wife of a kohen says to her husband that she had been raped, or she inadvertently slept with somebody else, or one witness comes in and testifies that she had had relations with somebody else, whether willingly or not, in that circumstance, she is not going to be made forbidden to her husband. Because in any of these circumstances, maybe she had desired to be with somebody else, and that's why she came up with the story. However, if the man trusts his wife in this circumstance, or he trusts this witness, he really relies on them, in that circumstance, he should divorce her in order to avoid any doubt. The wife of a Kohen who says to her husband that she had been raped, even though she is permitted to her husband, as the Rambam just explained, she's not believed, nonetheless, she's forbidden to any other Kohen who might exist after her husband dies, because she has admitted that she is a zona, and therefore she has forbidden herself and made herself as if she were something which is prohibited. If a Kohen married a girl, whether she was an adult or whether she was still a child, and then after some time has relations with her, and he claims that he found out that she had actually already had relations, then she becomes forbidden to him out of doubt, because maybe it was done prior to having been betrothed, or maybe it was afterwards, at which point then she would not be allowed to be with him. Ava Yisrael shetan tainazu lo nesra alav sheish kan shnei sveikos shema kodem kushin shema ach kushin afilu nomer ach kushin shema ones shema baratzon shanusim uteres Yisrael kamosh biyarnu. However, regarding a regular member of Klal Yisrael's wife, if he had betrothed her and then later on had a relation with her and discovered that she had already had a relation with somebody else, in that circumstance, she would not become forbidden to him, because here there's two potential doubts. Number one, maybe the act of relations had occurred before the betrothal, and maybe it had been after, which would make her forbidden. But even if it had been after, which would have made her forbidden, it won't make her forbidden if it was done against her will. If it was with her will, then indeed she would be forbidden. But that's already a second level suffix of doubt, and therefore we don't say that she's forbidden. Accordingly, if her father had betrothed her to this man while she was still less than 3 years old in one day, and then he claimed that he discovered that she had already had relations with somebody else, since it must have happened, the fact that she's lacking her signs of virginity must have happened after she'd already been betrothed, once she had already been 3 years and one day. In that circumstance, he's forbidden to her out of doubt, because here there's only one doubt. Once she had a relationship with somebody else, the question is only whether or not it was with will, at which point she'd be forbidden, or whether it was against her will, at which point she wouldn't be forbidden. And in a case where one might potentially violate a biblical command, one must lean towards stringency. Halakha Yud Beis. Kol isha shekine la baila, benistra, v'lo she'asa mei sota, asur lekoin, mimnei shehi safek zona. Any woman whose husband had warned her in the process described in Hilchos Sota, and then she went ahead and she secluded herself with a man he had warned her against, and she did not drink this special water to the Sota, she was forbidden to a kohen because she is potentially a zona. Whether the reason why she didn't drink was because she didn't want to, whether he didn't want to give her to drink, whether it was because there was some testimony which prevented her from being able to drink, whether it was because Beis Din had been the ones to warn her, whether she was one of the women who, for whatever reason, is not fit to drink, since she did not drink the waters, she becomes forbidden to the Kohanim out of doubt. Halacha Yud Gimel. Penuyah she'ru'a she'nivala le'achad, v'halach lo, v'amru lo, mi hu zeh she'ba alayach, v'amru, adam kasher, harizu ne'emes. If there was a woman who was a single woman, who was seen having relations with some man, and the man left. And they asked the woman, who was this man who had relations with you? And she said, he's a man with proper lineage. In that circumstance, she is believed. Not only that, even if she's seen to be pregnant, and they ask her, from whom did you become pregnant? And she said, from a regular upstanding member of Klal Yisrael. In that circumstance, she is believed, and she's permitted to marry a kohen. Halacha Yud Dalet, Medar Murim, when is that true? Shia Makom Shenivala Bo Prash Stachim O Bekarnos Shepasados Shakol Oberin Shav. This is if the place where she was found having relations is by a place where people pass by, such as out on the road or in the corners of fields where people are always passing by. Hayurov Oberin Shav Ksherim Verofa Yer Sheparshu Eluha Oberin Mimena Ksherim. Because most of the people that pass by there are people who are defined as valid members of Klal Yisrael, and most of the city that they are leaving from are valid members of Klal Yisrael. Because in that circumstance, the Chazal had instituted an added level of stringency regarding lineage and insisted there be two majorities working in her favor. However, if there were not these two majorities, but rather there's only one, for example, most of the passerbys were ksherim, but most of the people leaving from the city were psulim, or vice versa, in that circumstance, she is not supposed to go and marry a kohen ideally. However, if she does, she does not need to divorce him. Halacha Tezvav. Ru'a she'nivala be'ir, onis avar be'ir, afi lo ha'yish shochein sham ela ovdei kuchavim echad. O chol echad ve'evet kiyosi behen harizu loti nase lechachila lekalein shekol akvua kemechsa mechsahu ve'im niseis lotete hov hi omeres lekasher nevalti. If she was seen to be having relations in the city, or she had become pregnant in the city, even though the only person living there is one non-Jew or one chalal or one slave or the like, in that circumstance she should not marry a kohen ideally, because in any circumstance where there is a kvius, a set problem and not a mixture which had a component of it leave, at which point she would follow the majority, then we view it as a 50-50 case of doubt. And in that circumstance, if she does go ahead and get married, we don't insist that she get divorced, since she claims that she had had relations with a regular person. Halacha Tes Zayin. Ha'isa ilemes, ochi reshes, osha amara, eini yudayas, lemi nivalti, osha ha'isa ketana, she'ina makaris being kasha l'apostle, harizu safek zona. If she was mute, however, or deaf mute, or she says she doesn't know with whom she had relations, or she was too young to recognize whether the person she had relations with was somebody who was a kasha or apostle, in that circumstance, there's doubt as to whether or not she's a zona. Im nisis the kohen teitzei elim kain hayushnei haruben hametsuyin etzla kshir. And if she marries a kohen in that circumstance, she must get divorced unless there are both majorities working in her favor, as the Rambam has already explained. Halachah Yud Zayin. Hashvuyah shenifteis v'hi ba shalosh shana b'yom echad. Oh yes, sir. Asura the kohen mipnei shehi safek zona shem nivlal ovikam. If a woman had been taken captive and then had been redeemed, if she is 3 years old in one day or older, in that circumstance, she is forbidden to a kohen because there's doubt as to whether or not she's a zona, because perhaps she had relations with one of the non-Jews. If, however, there's a single witness who says that she had not secluded herself with the non-Jew, in that circumstance, she's permitted to marry a kohen. Even a slave or a maidservant or a relative of hers is believed regarding this type of testimony. And if you have two different captives, each one testifying on behalf of the other one, they are believed. Since each one of these cases of doubt is only something which is rabbinic in nature, therefore they were lenient regarding a woman who had been taken captive. Similarly, if you have a minor who's speaking out of innocence and he says that this woman had not secluded herself with one of the captors, in that case he's believed as well. In fact, Rambam tells us of a story which is brought in the Gemara about one young boy who had been taken captive along with his mother. And the boy was speaking out of innocence and says, "While we had been held captive amongst the non-Jews, me and my mother, whenever I would go out to draw water, I was always thinking about my mother. I would go out to chop wood, gather wood. My mind was on my mother." And in fact, based on that testimony, the Chacham allowed her to marry a kohen. Halacha Yud Tes. Ein ha'bal neman lahad ishto ha'shvuya shlo nishma. The husband is not believed testify on behalf of his wife who had been taken captive that she hadn't had relations with one of the non-Jews. Shaina the maid lachma, because the person is not able to testify on behalf of himself. Similarly, her maidservant is not allowed to testify on her behalf. However, the maidservant of her husband is allowed to testify on her behalf. And with regards to her own maidservant, if she was speaking out of innocence, again, not with an intent to testify, but just telling over a story, and from that we can glean insight, then she is believed. If a Kohen is the one testifying that this woman who had been taken captive was not secluded with one of the non-Jews, in that circumstance, he himself is not allowed to marry her because perhaps he was only testifying because he was interested in marrying her. However, if he had redeemed her and then testified on her behalf, then he is allowed to marry her. Because were he not to have known that she had actually been pure, then he wouldn't have gone and spent money on enabling her to be freed. If a woman herself goes ahead and says that she had been taken captive, but she is still pure, in that circumstance, she's believed, because the very same mouth which would have caused her to be forbidden is the same mouth which has told us that she is permitted. And this is even true if there's one witness who testifies that she's been taken captive. However, if there are two witnesses that said that she had been captured, in that case, she is not believed until she has one witness who can also testify that she had not secluded herself from one of the non-Jewish captors. If there were two witnesses that had said that she had been taken captive, and one witness says that she had indeed had relations, and the other one said that no, denies it, says that she's pure, she had never secluded herself from the non-Jews until the point where she had been redeemed, even if the one who's testifying on the fact that she had been pure is a woman, or even a maidservant, in that case, she is still permitted. Mish Amr Nishbase Utorani, Vitiru Base Tilinase, Vachach Bosh Nadim Shinishbase, Hajutinase the Chachila, but Othezimea Tera. If a woman had come in and said that she'd been taken captive, and yet she was still pure, and then based off of that, as we've just seen, Basin permits her to go ahead and marry a Kohen, and then afterwards, two witnesses come in that say that she had been taken captive. In that case, she is still allowed to go ahead and marry a Kohen, even ideally, and she doesn't lose out on the original permission granted. Even if her captor comes in afterwards, and we see that she's a captive still in his control, then she is still allowed to marry a Kohen. However, we do protect her to ensure that she not seclude herself with her captor, whose control she is still clearly under at this point, in order to ensure that she not seclude herself with him from henceforth onward. If two witnesses come in afterwards and said that not only had she indeed been taken captive, but she had actually had relations with one of these captors, in that case, even if she's married, even if she has children, she must leave this new Kohen husband of hers. If one witness comes in, then it's disregarded. If a woman says that she had been taken captive and she's pure, and in fact she has witnesses who can testify that she's pure, we don't say, now that she says she has witnesses, we have to wait till the witnesses come in order to allow her to go and marry a Kohen. Rather, we allow her to do so immediately. Although, not only that, furthermore, even if there is a rumor saying that there are witnesses who can testify about her that she's actually made impure, in that circumstance, we still permit her, based off of her own admission, to go ahead and remarry until those witnesses come, because, again, regarding a woman who was taken captive, we were lenient. If a father claims that he had betrothed his daughter and she had been divorced while she was still a minor, in that circumstance, he's believed. However, if he says that he had betrothed her and had her be divorced while she was still a young girl, and then now she is an adult, there he's not believed to have her be established as a divorcee. If the father claims that she had been taken captive and then he had redeemed her, in that circumstance, whether she is an adult or whether she's still a minor, he is not believed. Because the Torah only gave the father unique ability to be believed, a unique level of credibility, with regards to her marital status, because the pasuk says that the father is believed to say that he had given his daughter over to this man. However, to make her become disqualified as a zona, that is not something which the Torah gave him unique credibility for. If the wife of a Kohen had become forbidden to him because she is a Shvuya, since it is only a case of doubt whether she's actually forbidden, in that case, she's permitted to still live in the same general courtyard area, which is surrounded by houses, as him. This is assuming, though, that there are his son, the people in his household, constantly there to protect him. If there was a city that had been under siege and then was conquered, then if the non-Jews had surrounded the city entirely from all its directions, in order so that no woman should be able to escape without them seeing her, and thus they are all defined as under the domain of the non-Jews, in that circumstance, all women found in that city are now invalid to a Kohen, just as if they had been taken captives, because perhaps they had relations with these non-Jews. The only exception to that is if we have a girl there who is less than 3 years old, then, as the Rambam has already explained, they cannot be made into a zona. If, however, it was possible for even one woman to have been able to escape and they wouldn't have known that she had done so, or that there was this one hiding place, this cave inside of the city, even though it can only hold one woman in it at the time, nonetheless, it is still able to protect all of them from becoming forbidden. Now, how does it do so? Shekol isha she'amra Torah ani nemes. Any woman who says that I am pure is believed. V'afal pish ein la'ed, even though she has no witness backing up her claim. Mitoch she'chola lomar nimlatni kishenesh v'ha'ir, ob machbaha yisiv nitzalti. Nemenes lomar lo nimlatni lo nechbesiv lo nemesi. Since she is believed to say that she had escaped, since that's believable, or she had been in the hiding place, since that's believable, and that was how she was saved, she's also believed to say, therefore, that she hadn't run away, she hadn't been hiding, and nonetheless, she had not been slept with. Halachah test. When is that true? When the troops that had been surrounding the city and had eventually broken through were from that local government, and therefore they were comfortable settling in the city and they weren't afraid. Therefore, we have to be concerned that maybe they had had relations with these women. If it was a troop from some other kingdom that had broken through and had overwhelmed the city and passed by, in that case, the women are not made forbidden. Then, in that circumstance, we don't think they had enough opportunity to have had intercourse. Because they were in the middle of being involved, just taking the booty and then running off. And if they had captured women and they had been taken to the domain, even though Jews had chased after them and rescued those women, nonetheless, in that circumstance, the women are assumed to be forbidden. The final law on the barrack. If a woman had been taken to be imprisoned in the hands of a non-Jew because of some monetary affair, in that circumstance, she is still permitted to marry a Kohen. However, if she had been taken potentially with the danger being to her life, in that circumstance, she's forbidden to marry a Kohen. Accordingly, if her husband was a Kohen, she becomes forbidden to him. When is that true? This is assuming the Jews are more powerful than the non-Jews, and therefore the non-Jews are afraid of the Bnei Yisrael. If, however, the non-Jews have the upper hand, even in that circumstance, then, had she only been taken because of some monetary affair, as soon as she's been taken to the domain of the non-Jew, she's made forbidden. Unless she has testimony to say that she had not been made impure, as the Rambam has already explained. Have a wonderful day.